logic, because logic is a reflection. Logic is a reflection of the character and nature of God. God is immaterial. God is spirit. Logic is immaterial. We can't go to the refrigerator and get a pound of God or a pound of logic. God is spirit. Logic is immaterial. Logic is a reflection of the character of God. God is absolute. Logic is absolute. Universal. Unchanging. Immutable. We don't change logic. We don't change the laws of logic. Man didn't invent logic. Man figured out how to apply the laws of logic. Logic has no beginning. Logic has no end. Just as God has no beginning and no end. Laws of logic are impartial. The laws of logic are not swayed by political points of view, by religious points of view, by scientific points of view. They are unswayed. They are impartial. They are unbiased. And God is the perfect judge. God is the perfect judge. Yes, sir. My name's Tony.
Miles.
Miles. Nice to meet you.
I get like what you understand, like what you believe in. And I like believe in God and everything.
Uh huh.
But I was just wondering why you choose to like try to tell other people.
Oh, because that's what God's commanded in His Word. Jesus said, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature." If I love Jesus and I love people, I cannot help but to come out and tell people, warn them about God's pending wrath, and share with them the good news, how they could be saved from their sin and receive forgiveness in Jesus Christ. It's the most loving thing I could do for a human being. That's why I do it.
So it's rewarding for you?
Rewarding only in the sense that I'm obeying God, I'm loving God and loving people. I get nothing out of it. You know, I don't get paid to do this. I don't get any spiritual brownie buttons for doing it.
Yeah.
But because God changed my life, because God changed my heart, because God chose to save me, a worthless sinner.
Did you come to believe in God? Did you always believe in God?
I always believed in God. I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church.
Okay.
It didn't mean anything to me. I went to church because mom and dad told me to.
Okay.
I went through life believing I was a pretty good guy. I actually believed all Italians went to heaven. I mean, that's how screwed up my beliefs were. But I believe that so long as my good outweighs the bad, then it ought to work out in the end. What I didn't realize is that there's no good in me. Now, let me qualify that in this sense. You just walked up to me, you were polite, you were respectful, and that's why we're having a conversation. And so if I had Miles and Osama bin Laden locked in a room with me and I had to pick a friend, I'm probably going to pick Miles, right? Because Miles is probably a lot better guy than Osama bin Laden.
I hope so.
But I believe that.
Yeah.
Okay. But God's standard of goodness is moral perfection.
Okay.
Jesus said you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, I'm not. And I would hazard guess you would admit to that as well, that you're not perfect. But yet that's God's standard. That's God's standard.
So you're always striving for that.
Well, no, because striving for that perfection, I'm never going to reach it. I can never be perfect. Okay, so...
But it is God's standard.
Yeah, right, exactly, which puts me in a bad place.
Right.
If God's standard is perfection, and there's no, and I can't reach it, then I'm in trouble.
Right?
So, right, yeah, exactly, yes. We're all, yeah, in that sense, we're all in the same boat. What was explained to me was that if I try to get to God on my own, based on my own merit, whether it's religion or goodness, I mean, I worked as a deputy sheriff for 20 years, I thought for sure that, you know, that would somehow earn me something in heaven. But what I learned is that if there's nothing I could do to save myself, then I need a savior. Who is it? Well, God's provided only one, and that's His Son, Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man and without sin. He lived a perfect life for some 33 years, Miles, that you and I can't live for 33 seconds. I've sinned on this campus today. No need for me to get into it. You know, if not with my mouth, with my mind, I mean, it would be stupid for me to say, well, I've been perfect today, right?
I have a question as well. What do people do before Jesus? Like, how are they?
They look forward to Him.
So people knew.
Yeah, the Old Testament, as far back as Genesis 15,
right,
where it talks about Abraham's faith being credited to him as righteousness.
Okay.
See, the believers of the Old Testament lived by faith just like the believers of the New Testament.
Right.
The believers of the Old Testament looked forward to Christ's coming and his sacrifice on the cross.
Yeah.
The believers today look back to the cross.
The Jewish faction, right?
Well,
and what was the deal before, like, Abraham? Like, did people, like, not have any idea?
No, they did. No, they did. Romans 1 tells us that since the creation of the world, every human being has known that God exists. His law has been written on their heart. And they were born with a sin nature. I mean, Miles, you're probably, what, 19? Okay. One of the first words you learned, I'm going to take a guess, we just met, but one of the first words you learned wasn't, it might have been mom or dad, but likelihood, one of the first words you learned was no.
Okay.
And I would guess that mom and dad didn't put you on their knee, give you a lollipop, and practice the word no with you. Practice you disrespecting them. You know, you have any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, little brother.
Little brother? Oh, little brother. How many times did you thump your little brother for the fun of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Your mom and dad never taught you that.
Right.
Right? It was in your nature. That sin is in your nature. Right? And so is God's law. God's law is written on our heart. We know it's wrong. We know it's wrong to lie because we were created in the image of God and we know that God is true.
Right.
We know it's wrong to look with lustful intent and commit adultery in our heart.
Yeah.
Because we are image bearers of God. We were created in his image and we know that God is faithful.
Right.
Right?
So what do you believe in terms of science?
Like, I love it. I love science.
I feel like a lot of people who are very religious kind of like don't really like take science into account. They don't believe.
I love it.
I feel like they can go like hand in hand. You know, they
absolutely. I believe the sciences declare the glory of God. I love astronomy. I look at the heavens because they declare the glory of God. I love looking in a microscope because those cells, that the better our microscopes get, the more intricately the design we find.
Right.
You know, if Darwin had the microscopes we had today,
yeah,
he would not have been a Darwinian evolutionist. He had a blob on a cell. That's all he had.
Exactly.
If he saw the intricacy of design, he would have worshipped God too.
Right.
Right.
So do you...
I love science.
Do you believe in evolution, though?
I believe in microevolution.
Okay.
I do not believe in Darwinian evolution,
okay,
as in speciation. I don't believe in species to species change.
Okay.
One, because it's unscientific. It's not observable, it's not testable, and it's not repeatable. The basic tenets of observable science, correct? Right? Testable, observable, and repeatable.
Okay.
Darwinian evolution, macro evolution, is not testable, observable, or repeatable. Microevolution is, right? In Mexico, the dogs are smaller, thinner legs, less hair. In Alaska, big, thick legs, muscles, just solid muscle, thick, thick fur. Right. They're both dogs. They're both entirely dogs.
Right, right.
That's microevolution. Change within the same kind. And that's consistent with what the Word of God says. The Word of God says in the creation account that God created this, that, and the other, and they reproduced after their own kind.
Right.
Right? So I completely ascribe to microevolution.
Okay.
But I believe Darwinian evolution is a fairy tale for grown-ups.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think about like the statement, evolution is God? Like God is, I mean,
No. God is spirit. God is one. That kind of, I think the word for it is animism. The idea that, you know, God is in that rock. God is in that tree. God is, God is omnipresent. I don't believe that God started things and left things to themselves. That doesn't square with the Word of God, and it doesn't square with what we have, either archaeologically, historically, or scientifically. There's not a single discovery in science that it disproves anything in the Word of God. But that's not why I believe. I don't believe because of evidence. See, we all look at the same evidence. It's not an issue of evidence. It's not an issue of intelligence. It's an issue of worldview. there's either a worldview without God or the worldview with God.
Right.
And as you were walking up, what I was explaining is that in order for someone who holds to a godless, naturalistic worldview, they have to come into my worldview to justify it. And the reason is this. As I was explaining about logic, logic is immaterial in all of its facets. Utterly immaterial. Supernatural, if you will. Right? In a naturalistic worldview, there is no belief in anything that is immaterial. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So how then does the naturalist or the atheist account for something that he believes in that does not fit into his worldview? Logic is immaterial. Logic is eternal. How does a naturalistic worldview account for eternity? Logic is universal. You know, logic is immutable. It's unchanging. So I love science. I love philosophy. I love the laws of logic. I love studying them. I love talking about them, because I see God in all of them. In all of them. Because I can't do science without God. You know, that to expect the same thing to happen day after day after day after day is absurdity. Right? And if I ask the naturalist, why do you believe A, he has to say B. If I say, why do you believe B, he has to say C. And he's on a train of infinite regress never ends. It's an endless regress to absurdity. He can never be certain of anything. But with the Christian worldview, with God, all I have to know is that there is a perfect lawgiver. There is one who gives knowledge to his creation. And I could be certain of things because there is one who is certain. I'm off the train. I'm not living in absurdity. See, and most people who ascribe to a naturalistic or atheistic worldview, while they will attest to that with their mouth, and while they may even believe it in their mind, they don't live that way. They live in an absolute world while asserting there are no absolutes. Right? So many times people will come up to me and say, I don't believe in absolutes. Are you sure about that? Yes, there's one. Right?
I just kind of feel like, well, I mean, obviously, like, I believe in God, but I just kind of feel like people kind of have to come to it on their own, you know? Because I feel like
I don't think anyone comes by the sword.
Right.
If I hold a sword to your neck, like it's happening in other places of the world, and I say, believe or die, you'll say whatever you want, maybe. Right? Right. And this is the way I look at it, Miles. Often I hear the assertion, look, you shouldn't be shoving it down people's throats. I hear that a lot. As a deputy sheriff for 20 years, there were a few times where I had to perform CPR. Person was clinically dead. They're not breathing, no pulse, eyes, pupils dilated and fixed. Yep. They're clinically dead.
Right.
I forced myself on them.
Yeah.
I started pumping on their chest. I cracked their ribs. I started breathing for them.
Yeah.
And that clinically dead person could not do anything to help me. Or anything to refuse my efforts.
Right.
And unfortunately in those cases, those people died. But if I had brought someone back to life, I doubt the person would say, you jackass, why did you bring me back to life?
Yeah,
right? Why did you shove your opinions down my throat?
Right. That's the parallel.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So while what I'm doing is offensive to many, it's done with imperfect love. I mean, I don't want anyone to perish. I don't want you to perish. I don't want the people who mock to perish. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I can't keep them from going. You know, and I can't save them.
Right.
But what God has commanded me to do in the two greatest commandments is to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself.
Right.
And there's nothing more loving I can do for God than to testify about his goodness. And there's nothing more loving I can do for you as my neighbor than share with you how you could be forgiven of your sins and receive the gift of eternal life and not perish in hell for all eternity. And most people don't hear that as a loving message, Miles, because they love themselves and they love their sin more than they love God.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for talking to me.
Yeah. So, okay, now you say you believe in God, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
How far does that go?
For me, I definitely should take it farther, you know? Like, I don't know. I've gone through phases where I kind of, like, pray more than I used to, and less. It just kind of depends. Really.
Okay.
But, I mean, I went to a Catholic high school, so I got, like, the whole, I know all about, like, biblical history.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Bible says in the book of James that the demons believe and tremble.
In what?
The demons believe and tremble. Shudder.
Okay.
Shake. Satan knows more about that book and more about God than you and I do. And he's not going to spend a moment in heaven because he has that intellectual knowledge. Knowledge doesn't save us. Knowledge doesn't save us. What do you think is going to happen to you when you die?
I don't know. Obviously, like, I would prefer to get...
I'm sure. Like, I would prefer that for you, too.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. Yeah,
okay.
I don't know. Like, well, I'm... at this point in my life, I'm just kind of taking it one step at a time, you know?
Okay.
I'm trying to be a good person, you know, right. I'm not really, like, thinking about, like, heaven or hell.
Yeah. Now, remember, God's standard of goodness.
Right.
If you want God to see you as good, if I want God to see me as good, all I have to do is live a perfect life in thought, word, and deed from cradle to grave.
Right.
How you doing today? I haven't done that today. I've already blown it. Right? So it takes us back to square one. On our best day, we're back at square one, trying to get there on our own.
Exactly.
So, and that's why Christ came. He came to save sinners. People like you and me. Hi, I saw you over there taking notes.
I was taking
What's your
notes,
name?
And then that lady stopped and looked, and I said, let me talk to her.
Okay.
My name's Anya.
I'm Tony. Yeah. Nice to meet you. And this is Miles.
Miles.
Nice to meet you.
So, Miles, do you believe what I'm telling you is true?
Yeah, yeah.
You do?
Okay. I do. I feel like I would go about it in different ways.
Sure. Hey, there are different ways.
Energy to,
I understand.
To preach to people.
Yeah. Well, you know, I spend a lot of time having conversations like this.
Yeah, I think this is a much better.
Well, it might be.
Yeah.
But what I was doing up there.
Then more people can hear.
Well, but that's what Jesus did. I'm not claiming to be Jesus. I'm not Jesus.
Right, Bill.
But that's what Jesus did. That's what the prophets did. That's what the disciples did.
Yeah.
And this is how the gospel's been communicated for 2,000 years. It's not the only way, and it's certainly not for everybody. And some people really make a mess of it. Some people come on this campus, some people I know, who will come on this campus and talk disgusting and call students names, accuse students of everything.
That's why it gets kind of the bad rep.
Sure.
Guys will stand up here and tell girls that they're sluts.
Right. Yeah. You'll never hear that come out of my mouth.
Right. Okay. Thank you for that. Yeah.
But I'm not going to give up the ground. I'm not going to give up a biblical form of communication because there are charlatans doing it the wrong way. Because
right.
I care too much about people like you. I know that may sound cliche and all that's easy to say. You're never going to see me again.
But
25 years ago, Miles, I wouldn't have cared a bit if you lived or died. In fact, 25 years ago, all I would have been concerned about is if there was a way I could take you to jail. And if I couldn't, then you're a waste of my time. Yeah.
So you've done your whole...
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't. Christ did that in me.
Okay.
See, I'm no better than you, Miles. Not for a second. But at the moment, I'm better off. Not because of who I am, but in spite of who I am and because of who Christ is in me.
Okay.
See? See, I know I'm going to heaven. And that, on the surface, that sounds really arrogant, but it's not because of who I am, it's in spite of who I am. See? My hope of eternity is in nothing that I've done. It's not in standing up here looking like a fool to some. It's not pleading with you to repent and believe the gospel. My hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is in Him. I'm confident where I'm going to spend eternity because of what He did for me on the cross. That's why. See, if I got what I deserve, I should go to hell as fast, if not faster, than anybody else on this campus. Right? If God gave me justice, I would be in hell for all eternity. But for reasons known only to Him, and for nothing good in me, He chose to extend me grace through faith in His Son.
Yeah.
And that's good news.
Yeah.
See, every other religion, Miles, says, believe a set of standards, work as hard as you can to obey those rules, and maybe, just maybe, it'll work out for you in the end. There's no hope. There's no hope. In Islam, they're told to obey the five pillars. You know, everything from fasting to praying to being benevolent with their money to jihad. But to pilgrimage to Mecca, right? But even in the Quran, it says that even after you've done everything you can to please Allah, there's no guarantee He's going to forgive you. There's no hope. There's no hope. And every other religion, says, unless you live up to this standard, whatever it may be, you can't be sure. The Word of God says the exact opposite. If I try with all my might, I can be assured of hell. If I put all of my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation, I can be every bit of assured as in heaven, not because I'm religious, not because of anything I've done, but because of what Jesus Christ did on my behalf on the cross. And that is where I put my hope. And because of that, I don't live under my table because Ebola has entered the country.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean I'm not going to wash my hands. I'm going to be reasonable.
Yeah.
Right? I don't hide. I'm not afraid to speak the truth about Christianity.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of having my head lopped off someday.
Yeah.
Because my hope is not in this world. My hope is in Christ.
Exactly.
Right? So life, no matter how bad it is, whether I'm 50, I could have cancer in my body right now and not know it. I feel pretty good. But I'm a 50-year-old man. The chances of me contracting prostate cancer, it's like 1 in 6. Right? Jesus didn't promise a perfect life. Jesus promised tribulation, persecution, and sorrow. But He said, do not worry, take care, for I have overcome the world. See, the Christian can not only get through life, but experience joy in this life, not like some kind of Barbie or Ken doll, you know, with a plastic smile on your face, but authentic joy, because this is not our home. My hope isn't in whether or not I make it to 90 years and my Roth IRA gives me lots of money to retire on. My hope is that when I close my eyes for the last time, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. And there will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow. I won't sin anymore. I won't have any desire to. There will never be another tear shed. And I will be in perfect communion with the One who made me. That's good news. And that's ultimately what I'm offering you, Miles.
Right. Hey, I got to catch my class.
Okay.
But hey,
let me leave you with one question just to consider. Do you have a Bible?
Yes.
You do. I'd encourage you to read the Gospel of John today. It's the fourth book of the New Testament. You could probably get through it in one night. Okay. But I want to leave you with this question, because you said you believe what I'm telling you. Okay. What sin is, and you don't have to answer now, because I want you just to think about it.
Okay.
What sin is there in your life that you love so much that you're willing to die and go to hell so that you can reject Christ's offer of salvation and enjoy your sin in this life?
That's a good question.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I'm going to be praying for you, Miles. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you for your time.
God bless you.
Yes.
Well, my name's Ani.
Yes, nice to meet
your
you.
Name is
Tony.
Tony.
Yes, ma'am.
Tony.
Miano.